traveling through the wilderness. Your company has been delightful. You do not leave my mind distressed. I go away behind to leave you, perhaps never to meet again. But if we never have a pleasure, I hope we'll meet on Canaan's land. Farewell, my friends, I'm bound for Canaan. I'm traveling through the wilderness. Your company has been delightful. You do not leave my mind distressed. I go away behind to leave you, perhaps never to meet again. But if we never have the pleasure, I hope we'll meet on Canaan's land.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Have come to give you praise for that strength to live your word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Our first lesson is from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines, but you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Here ends the first reading.
Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verses 15 through 21. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. And from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you in behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here ends the second lesson.
The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.' And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The phrase that I want to hold before you is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Dwelt among us. I translate that, moved into the neighborhood first moving van I ever saw was when I was 10 years old. In the town I grew up in, people didn't use moving vans. When somebody wanted to move, they called up all their friends who had pickup trucks, and they all came and piled everything on top and took it wherever they were going. It always seemed like there were three mattresses on top with some chairs hanging over the sides and careening through the town. It was always fun to have your friends move because you got to help pile all that stuff on and find out what they had in their house. See how they lived secretly behind those doors. But when I was 10 years old, a North American Van Lines truck, 18-wheeler, came onto our little street, 3rd Avenue East North in Kalispell, Montana, took up the whole block, it seemed like, moved to the house, came to the house next door that had been vacant for several months. It was nearing the end of August, and we were excited. By that time, you know, and especially in a small town, you're pretty bored with your friends. And here was something new happening. Here was a new family coming in, and the whole neighborhood was going to change. And at least it had prospects of that, and we were excited. And my friends, there were three or four of us, we gathered around and watched that moving van unload. We wanted to know what these people were like. They weren't there yet. They didn't show up for two more days, and so we had a chance to examine them before they got there. And we of course wanted to know if they had kids, and so we watched things come off the van. Some skis came off. That was promising. These people knew how to have fun. And huge mirror. I remember that mirror, just a huge mirror. They were rich. We'd never had mirrors like that in our houses. And the furniture was better than anything in our houses. A motorcycle came off the van. And this is, we knew it was going to change a lot. And these were swingers. Couple bicycles. They must have kids. They've got to have kids if there are bicycles coming off the van. And we just looked and looked, examining every piece, trying to deduce from it what kind of neighbors we were going to have, how the neighborhood was going to change with these new people coming in. Exciting time. North America. Every time I see a North American Van Lines moving van, I just, that's kind of a landmark in my life. And then 2 days later, the people showed up, and it was just downhill from there. They were from New York, and they thought this was. They had two teenagers, Bill and Brenda, and they were 3 or 4 years older than any of us, and they just treated us with contempt. They were from a big city, New York, the East Coast. And they were in this hick town, and they just treated us like hicks. They were snobbish and smart, and talked about all the famous people they were around and the movie stars they'd seen in Broadway and big league baseball. And then the parents, the Nobles, Mr. and Mrs. Noble. Our parents, our mothers made cookies. And we all brought the cookies over. We knocked on the door. We're going to get to see inside. And Mrs. Noble just looked at us and took the cookies and shut the door. We never got in. Mr. Noble never talked to us. He kind of followed a big cigar around all the time and just never even knew we were there. They moved into the neighborhood, and everything changed for the worse. But it's the same word that's used at the beginning of John's Gospel about Jesus. Jesus dwelt among us. God became flesh, dwelt among us, moved into the neighborhood, and the disciples, John and his friends, John the Baptist, and then this other John, and they were watching And John writes his gospel pretty much in the from the perspective of me and my friends back in Kalispell, Montana, in I think it was about 1942, watching what's going to happen, watching, looking for signs. That's a big word with John, looking for signs. What are the signs? How's this going to change? What's going on here? Listening to the way they talked, he talked, picking up signs. That wedding, Cana, something's going on here. That Gentile healed, Capernaum. How does that happen? There's something significant going on here. A sign is a clue. There's more to come. There's something behind all of this. Listening to Jesus, watching him work, realizing that things are changing. Nothing's going to be the same again. This neighborhood is changed for good. How is it going to change? Watching the healings, watching the feeding of the 5,000, listening to the sermons, listening to him speak. Speaking, they picked up things like, I am the bread of life. You can understand that. And that's not a snobbish word. That's not a New York word. That's just, they know what he's taught. I'm the door. They all knew that. I'm the light of the world. He doesn't use big words. We can understand everything he says. All these signs accumulate. John writes the story of the observation, the watching of what goes on when God moves into the neighborhood. There's a word which was a big word for me when I was young that I heard preachers say a lot. I never knew what it meant. But they said it in such a way that I knew it was important. The word was Shekinah. Every preacher that came through our little town used that word, Shekinah. I can't say it the way they do. You've got to have a big voice and one of those huge resonating organ-like voices to say Shekinah. And you just feel, it's mystery and holiness and everything all put together. Never knew what it meant, but I knew it was important. And later on when I started studying the languages and I found out what it meant, but I was surprised to find that it doesn't occur in the Bible. That word doesn't occur in the Bible, Shekinah. It's the word that's behind our word here. Shakan in Hebrew means to dwell, to set up a tent, make yourself at home. But it never occurs in the Bible. Where it occurs is after the second temple. You know, the first Solomon's temple, this magnificent temple, was destroyed. And then under this patronage of Cyrus, 100 years later, so the Jews came back and they built the second temple. And it was a shabby place. I mean, people who had seen the first temple just wept when they saw it. It's just a ramshackle kind of thing. It had none of the glory of the first temple, and you're embarrassed to show your friends. It's just one of these kind of storefront temples. But every once in a while, somebody praying or reading the scriptures or waiting for God would look at that second temple and suddenly it would be transformed. It was just full of light and glory, and that word then began to circulate among the Jews through those intertestamental years, and it continued on. It was used through Hebrew times, medieval Hebrew mystical literature a lot. They were living in hard times, you know. There was not much to living in ghettos and going through pogroms. But the Shekinah, every once in a while, the Shekinah. God moving into the neighborhood. And they seeing it. And realizing that it didn't make any difference what the circumstances were, what the place was. When God moved in, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld the glory. St. John's Gospel is a training in helping us to see the glory. the Shekinah. It was a word John would have known, would have been a word current in his time. And I'm sure he was picking it up. He picks it up where it's picked up again by John or his successor in the Apocalypse. And this, the same thing, the glory, the brightness, the beauty. You've been hearing stories from Dale Brunner, from St. John's Gospel, all of them feeding into this, showing this. And as we come to this table tonight, we come to a place, a dwelling place, where there's hospitality. There's a lot of invitations in St. John's Gospel, because when God moves into the neighborhood, it's not like the nobles in Kalispell, Montana, where you go to the door to try to find out what's inside and get shut out. He opens the doors. Instead of being shut out, we're invited in. And this dwelling place becomes, we're suddenly no longer on the outside of the dwelling place, we're inside. Instead of just being little kids curiously wondering what's going on, we're suddenly part of the family. It's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing, this meal, this hospitality that God, in which God invites us into, makes us at home in. This isn't the proper time to do this, but you know, when you read St. John's Gospel, read it for the signs of hospitality, for the way in which Jesus suddenly is host. He's not a stranger. Everybody else, they think they've lived there all their lives, and suddenly they find themselves guests at his table, in his room, in his space, invited in, made to feel at home, nurtured, fed, saved. I want to read you that passage again in the Message. The Word was first. The Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without Him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. There was once a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Amen. Thank you.